This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. One of the senses that we take for granted, I'm going to surmise, is touch. We all use it every minute, right? But we really don't think much about it until something radical happens. It could be, you know, a hot stove, the ouch from a hot stove, or it could be nice softness of cat fur. Now, a group of researchers has been studying how a certain type of nerves respond to soft touch and are important in how we respond and understand social cues. Francis McGlone is a professor of neuroscience at Liverpool, John Morris University in Liverpool, UK. Welcome to Science Friday.
Welcome, Ira.
Thank you. Do we have different nerves to transmit different senses of touch, separate ones for pain, separate ones for stroking the kitty?
We do indeed. The word touch is actually not the accurate word for what the body senses are actually quite kaleidoscopic. So there's nerves in your skin or there's sensory receptors in the skin of the body that will detect a painful stimulus, an itch stimulus, a temperature stimulus, and of course touch. And within those domains there are multiple other nerve fibers that distinguish different aspects of temperature, different aspects of touch. So in all, there's probably over 20 different types of receptors that are telling our brain about things that are going on the body.
So those receptors are there not to sort of see the world, but to feel the world.
Absolutely. Well, they're there to sort of, the pain nerves are probably some of the most important that we have, because they'll tell the brain about something that's nasty that's happening on the surface of your body. So those pain nerves warn you very immediately that there's potential skin damage, and we've all possibly burnt ourselves on a hot stove. And the important thing here about the touch nerves is that we've known for a long time that we have like little microphones in the skin that detect mechanical stimulation that happens to the skin. And an important element of that kind of touch, and that's the touch that most of us really know about, you know, when you're handing an object, when you're using a pen or lifting a cup up. Now, those nerves are myelinated. What that means is that they're covered in a fatty sheath, and that enables the message to get to the brain in record time. So as soon as someone touches you, you feel it immediately. Now, these myelinated nerves are important for discrimination. So if you didn't have these fast nerves, you know, something could slip through your fingers and you wouldn't know it until it had dropped on the floor. The touch nerves that we've been working on they're still mechanically sensitive, i.e. that they respond to a mechanical stimulus. But the nerves that signal this kind of touch are what's called unmyelinated. Now, that means they've got no fatty insulating sheath over them. And when they're stimulated, that message gets to the brain in seconds. Hmm. Now, a good analogy here is if you've ever put your finger on a hot plate, there's a fast nerve system which pulls you back instantly. You know, right. So you don't have to think about it. And that's the first pain system, and it's there to get you out of there. But then you'll know that in a couple of seconds, whoa, that's really going to hurt. And that burning sensation, the throbbing emotional aspect of pain, is another C fiber, and those nerve fibers give you that horrible quality of pain. And that delay is because these nerve fibers are taking those pain messages into your emotional brain in a couple of seconds rather than a couple of milliseconds. Now, the touch nerves we found are also C fibers. It means that they don't discriminate. But they're sending, when you're stroked gently on you, or you've got a very pleasant touch on the body, this isn't a sensing now, it's a feeling. So that it's a kind of an emotional touch system that we're all aware of, but we don't really consciously notice it in the sense that it's an immediate.
It's a feeling. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's not a sensing, it's a feeling.
It's a feeling.
And it's the same with this pain thing. Pain is a feeling, it's an emotion. Yeah. The first pain system is sensing. Oh, got to get out of here.
Right.
You know, that's a pinpricking. The second one is a feeling, emotional type of response.
Well, if it's an emotional type, would it not matter then who you're touching or what you're touching?
That's a very good question, Ira, and people often get confused about, you know, we've been looking at the input. So these are the messages that go into the brain, and they don't have a brain, if you like. You know, they're like the pain nerve will sense pain no matter what's going on. a touch nerve and these pleasure touch nerves. But what the brain is doing is balancing what's coming in with what's called top-down effects or top-down processes that mediate that input signal, and you'll perceive it in terms of the context in which it is happening. So no matter how we excite these pleasant nerves by stroking someone gently, if it's someone you can't stand, it's not going to make that signal be interpreted as pleasant. And the same with pain, actually. You know, someone will have a relatively unpleasant procedure, like, you know, having your hair plucked mm-hmm. out or something. And in that context, you're sort of almost happy to put up with that pain because the context is okay.
So it's very much context.
Oh, absolutely. I think the same with pain and the same with pleasant touch. You know, the context matters as to where, how that signal is coming in and the context in which you're experiencing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, context matters a great deal.
Temple Grandin and people who suffer from autism often don't like to be touched. Could this be due to faulty nerves or
well, this
what?
Yeah, I mean, this is, if you like, the radical idea that's come out of our research. And I mean, I was working with a group in Chapel Hill in North Carolina in 98, 99, and there was a group there that were working with autism. And it was round about then that I got interested in these pleasant touch nerves. And this autism group were telling me that, you know, one of the characteristics of autism is that autistic children tend to resist gentle touch. Okay, they don't like very light, gentle. And that, and there I put one and one together. I thought, because these nerve fibers, or their discovery is actually relatively recent in humans. So for the last sort of 15 years, we've been banging away at trying to find enough evidence to can support the idea that it possibly, there's a failure in this system in autism. And I've actually communicated with Temple Grandin, and she confirmed that as a child, she still hates the gentle touch of something on her body. And in fact, Temple Grandin, in order to contain the horror of what the autistic world was like, I don't know, you know, she built this cow press.
Yeah, we've had her on. She's
oh, brilliant.
She's talked about it, and I've seen the film too. So.
Well, that isn't gentle touch. What maybe, and Temple didn't know about these pleasure nerves, by the way, but when I explained what we were doing, it kind of made sense to her, because if you squeeze really, really hard, these nerve fibers are likely to be saturated and maybe just stop, you know, stop functioning. But the big idea here, I think, really, is that the brain is basically a social organ. That's what the human brain is. It's a social organ. And the way that brain develops its self-identity and its recognition that I'm me and the world's out there, we think are through those very early interactions of nurturing affiliative touch between the mother and the infant. Those early stages lay the groundwork for the subsequent development of that social brain.
Mm-hmm. And so where are these gentle touch sensors located? Are they all over our bodies? Or are they more concentrated in certain places?
This is a lovely question. It's something that we're currently investigating. One interesting thing is they're in the skin of the body. Mm-hmm. We have never found them in the palms of the hand or the soles of the feet. Okay, so these pleasure nerves are not in your palms, and they're not in the soles of the feet. And this may mean that, you know, you use your hand for sort of outdoor things. You know, you're manipulating objects. You're sort of, you know, you're turning keys. You don't want these pleasure nerves there. They're on the skin of the rest of the body. And we did a really interesting experiment recently that we're about to write up. We basically made a load of little videos. And these videos, you could see somebody being stroked on the palm, stroked on the arm, stroked on the upper arm, or stroked on the back, quickly and slowly. And all the person had to do was to rate how much they liked what they were seeing and how much they would like it done to themselves. And we found, first of all, that it was the slow touch that everybody rated as the most pleasant. And we know these nerves are tuned to a sort of 3 centimeters per second, yeah? So they fire optimally at a gentle stroking touch. They don't like being stroked quickly. But the other really interesting thing that came out of this is the body site that people rated as the most pleasant to be stroked was the upper shoulder and the back. So, and you kind of know that intuitively. Yeah, someone sort of, you know, is reassuring you. They'll sort of stroke you on the back rather than on the forearm. So we think these nerves are more densely represented towards the center of the body.
So three centimeters per second is the optimal.
That's the magic velocity, Ira.
Well, it is Friday night.
Don't tell anybody.
Can this explain why in primates and in apes you see them grooming each other all the time? Is it go back to that?
Oh, and yes, I think what's that an early indication of is that primate grooming is beyond hygiene. Okay, so it's no longer serving enough of a purpose for pure hygiene, and we all know the story that this grooming behavior now is setting social hierarchies within a primate colony. There, touch is being used in a social way to sort of set the hierarchies rather than just pure hygiene. Now it's evolved to a higher purpose, and of course in humans, I don't know, what worries me to some extent is we're becoming, I don't know, a more touch-averse society. And with the development of a lot of modern media, there's not the interactions that were there, you know, when people had to go out and actually meet people. Right. You can socially communicate now without actually touching anybody. And there may be some consequences further down the line. It's a very human thing, this tactile interaction, that maybe, I think, Temple Grandin or is it Tiffany Field, you know, came up with the comment that we're touch-starved or touch-deprived.
Fascinating. That's not something our computers can do for us.
No, it can't. I mean, they can simulate vision, you can simulate hearing, but you cannot simulate touch.
All right.
You know, it has to be a mechanical stimulus.
All right, Dr. McGlone, thank you very much for taking
all right, it's
quite,
a pleasure, Ira.
Quite interesting. Francis McGlone is professor of neuroscience at Liverpool John Moores University in Liverpool, UK. Thanks again for taking time to be with us.